Appreciate Mark's opening prayer there this morning when he mentioned that this day was a time to appreciate what God had given us, that he gave us this great land, and he literally did give us this great land from back centuries and centuries ago through a promise, you see. God ordained this land for us, set it apart for us, for us to have it. There was something else I was going to mention too, but it'll come to me a little bit later maybe. But anyway, we'll get into this. You see, God made a covenant. He made an agreement with our forefathers, and he said that we would be one of the greatest countries on this planet. As a matter of fact, he gave this planet over to Satan, the devil, to run and to do what he wanted to with, except where he wanted to intervene to cause his plan to be worked out. So let's begin back in Genesis 48. Genesis 48 and verse 8. And Joseph said to his father, who was Jacob, who was surnamed Israel, Joseph said to his father, they are my sons. In verse 8 he said, now Israel saw Joseph's sons, and he said, who are these? Who are these? And Joseph said to his father, and they are my sons. And now Jacob was getting old, and his eyes was getting dim, and he couldn't see like he wanted to, like he had always done. And he said, these are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he says, please bring them to me, and I'll bless them. And so now the eyes of Israel were growing dim with age, so that he couldn't see. And then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and he embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring. See, Jacob was dealing specifically with God. His grandfather Abraham had, and Jacob had, and Abraham and Isaac had, and now he was dealing specifically with God. So Joseph brought them beside his knees, and he bowed down his face to the earth, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. He brought them to him to be blessed. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was a younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hand, knowing for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, and he said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all of my life, to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So you see, brethren, that's who we are today, and we have evidence of that. We have tapes, we have booklets, and we have whatever you need. If anyone doubts whether or not we are or Israel, they need to get those tapes and those books, because we are certain we have Israel. Now, we are Israel. Now, in the next chapter, of chapter 49, Jacob calls all of his sons together, and he puts on them and lets it be known what will be their characteristics throughout the world, wherever they go. And it's easy, and we have evidence of who's who, where Israel is scattered throughout the whole planet Earth. No doubt about it. But we are blessed above everything because we are a representative of Joseph, one of the sons of Joseph, who was Manasseh. In England, the brother is also Ephraim. There's evidence of that. And God specifically allowed that to happen. He specifically blessed those sons and specifically gave us the responsibility of carrying on his name in the great country. Now, this country, you see, this country and all the countries of Israel, it didn't just happen by chance. It was planned by Almighty God before the foundation of the world, before we ever came along. Our destiny was planned. See, now that doesn't mean now that we couldn't make choices. He didn't take away the fact we had to make choices, because he won't possess anybody. God won't possess you, but he'll give you an open mind and he'll cause you to understand and expect you to act on it. See? And to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You see, God expected Israel to obey. And if they didn't obey, he would curse them, see, or allow them to get into all kinds of different circumstances. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 32, we find this. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your land. What happened? They disobeyed. That's what will happen when you disobey. See, that's a prophecy of what would happen when you disobey. A nation whom you have known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. That's if you disobey. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. It'll run you nuts from what you see going on in your land. And the Lord will strike you in the knees and on your legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. And verse 43 then continues. Drop down to verse 43, it says. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. And he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Verse 45, it says, moreover, all of these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. So you see, Israel brings on themselves the curses on the land because they disobey. You see, now God has made this land the greatest land that ever existed on this planet Earth. They have helped every nation on this planet Earth. Everybody. They have learned, the whole world has learned to depend on this nation for help. And now what's happening? You see, since they depend on us, we've thumbed our nose at God as a people, as a nation. After God has blessed us and fulfilled his blessings on us, gave us his blessings that was promised to our forefathers, he's been loyal and faithful to his word. But who obeys God? They don't know who God is. The worldly people, the government, don't know who God is. We are a crooked and a perverse people. From the top down, from the street cleaners to the top notch of government in this land, is crooked and perverse. They don't know. They don't know what to do. See? Now, we cause the people to depend on us because of God's greatness, because God gave us the ability to lead, and we have neglected to do so. We have fallen, and we've fallen to a bunch of thieves. And that sounds a little harsh to people, you know, and I just, you know, I can't help it. That's just the way it is. That's the way I see it. See? Now, looking down through time, when the prophets spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, that Peter said, as they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, the prophet Isaiah, who was one of the greater prophets, spoke of Jesus Christ more than all the other prophets put together in our time. Turn to Isaiah 24. Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 19. Isaiah wrote, the earth is violently broken, and the earth is split open, and the earth is shaken exceedingly. Now, he wasn't talking about this physical planet Earth. He was talking about the governmental forces and the people that govern this planet Earth. See? Now, let's go on a little bit further, and we'll understand that a little better. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fail and not rise. There's a prophecy concerning this planet Earth which we live on. The whole planet Earth which learned to depend on Manasseh and Ephraim, the sons of Joseph. And we've let them down. We've let the whole world down. Now the whole world is teetering to and fro. This portrays exactly the condition that this nation is in now. This prophecy does. See? Don't know what to go. It portrays perfectly the social and political and religious structure of today. See? So you see this, it's just being broken down. Now think about this. It's being broken down. The things that made this country great is being removed, you see. Take for instance the institutions that existed down through the centuries, like educational systems failing, financial systems failing. The world depends on it. Newspapers that have been part of the landmarks of this whole world, has made this country great, are being resolved, being destroyed, taken part of. This part of thinking, this is the things that made this nation great. They could depend on, but all of these are being changed because we reached a condition to where we don't know what to do as a nation. Our government officials don't know what to do. As a matter of fact, they're saying they're open for any suggestion from anybody. They know they have to do something. Now, whether they're doing the right thing or not, I don't know, but I doubt seriously if it's going to work, because I think these prophecies are being fulfilled. I personally feel like that we're in the beginning of the end of this thing. See? You see, brethren, those people who don't know what to do, they're questioning what to do, and they want to put on a good show. They want to put on a good show, but I'll tell you, these prophecies that God has prophesied is going to come true because He is God. He's God. Let's turn to Psalms 107. Psalms 107 and verse 24. The psalmist wrote this. They see the works of the Lord and His wonders at the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, and they go down again and to the depths, and their soul melts because of trouble. Don't know what to do. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at his wit's end. Now, you ever hear of something like that? Don't know what to do? They're at his wit's end. You see, brethren, that's the condition this nation is in. You see, a drunken man will stagger and he'll try to hold on to anything he can to steady himself, to keep from falling sometimes, and sometimes falls on his face. You see, that's the way our country is now. They're grasping for anything, open for any kind of suggestion, grasping for a way to hang on. But you see, God has drawn the line from all indication. God is drawing a line. Now go back to Psalms. Go back to Psalms 24. There's a couple more verses there I want to read. Isaiah 24 and verse 17. Isaiah wrote, "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth." The whole earth that depend on Ephraim and Manasseh can't do that anymore. "And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in a snare, and the windows from on high are open, and the foundation of the earth are shaken." That's a worldwide thing, a worldwide movement. A worldwide movement. You see, brethren, this thing is not like it's always been. It's not just the U.S. It's not just one nation that's going down. It's not just one nation that's struggling to survive. but it's the whole planet Earth. It's the whole planet. Let's go to Psalms 46. Let's go to Psalms chapter 46. Psalms 46 and verse 1. Excuse me. God is our refuge. Now here's a way out, you see. If the nation and the world would repent. It doesn't have to be that way. You see, when Israel used to repent, they'd go in captivity. But when they'd repent and act like they wanted God and ask for God, God would go to the rescue and bail them out. See? But they won't do that now because they want to do everything their way. Everybody knows more than everybody, you see. Each individual thinks he's the greatest leader in the world. He's got to do this or that. They forget about God. Even though knowledge has been increased, we live in the most educated society that's ever been on this planet Earth. You see, and they don't need God. They think they don't need God because of that knowledge. See? He said, a very present help in trouble, God is. Therefore, we'll not fear, even though the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and with its swellings, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved, and God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. That's the end of time. That's the great tribulation. See? But God is God. He's going to save a few people. There's going to be some that he's going to spare. And verse 7, he said, and the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolations in the earth. He makes war cease in the end of the earth, and he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire and the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all the nations of this planet earth, and I will exalt it in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You see, we know who God is. We know who Jacob is. We knew who the sons of Joseph are. You see, he's talking to a people that wants to deal with him, that he wants to deal with. You see? Now, in of this trouble, God's going to intervene. He's going to intervene for those who obey him. Not because of the politicians elect somebody that's going to solve, the problem. There isn't anybody going to solve the problems. No human being is going to solve the problem. It's too far out, it's too far down to be raised up. Only God can solve the problem, and it's his plan that's being worked out. You see, he laid the plan. It's his plan being worked out. You see, we are assured of God's protection. He gives us his word, and he's God. He's going to carry out his word. Turn to Mark chapter 13. You see, this whole system, it's Satan's system. Satan governs this planet Earth. Jesus Christ himself said Satan is the ruler of this world. And God said that Satan is the god of this world. In Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 19, Mark recorded our Savior as saying, "For in those days there will be tribulation." That's the end time, closing out of this society, closing out of this planet as we know it. In those days there will be tribulation, such as not has been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Now we live with, this is the only time when man had the opportunity from several different nations on this planet Earth to destroy all life on this planet Earth. The only time it's ever been. Now, God has destroyed it, but man now has the ability to do it for himself. See? And verse 20, He said, and unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those he chooses, those whom he chose, those whom he called, those whom he gave his Holy Spirit to, those whom he is in contact with through the Spirit, those days shall be shortened for their sake. So you see, brethren, he's going to take care of those whom he has chosen, but all of them that he has chosen will not allow him to take care of them. We'll see that a little bit later on. It's going to be a few. It's going to be a few people that's going to escape and go into the government of God, or into the world tomorrow, as you used to say years ago. In Revelation chapter 18, Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1, John wrote this. John wrote this for a time ahead of us. He said, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his glory. And this one was not physical anymore. He had been changed into his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the dwelling place of demons, a prison of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean, hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornications. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxuries. You see, that's going on for a long time. Still going on, but it's coming down. You see, it's been a trade war that's going on. And verse 4 is said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. And verse 5 it says, for her sins have reached to heaven and God has remembered her lawlessness. So that's not too good for a nation, you know, that has turned against God, that has thumbed their nose at God when he gave them everything they needed, everything they could imagine that they needed, gave it to them and let them run it. And they're just like Adam, failed to carry out their responsibilities, you see. Failed it. And still failing. Don't know. Now they're so confused they don't know. And it's a worldwide thing. And Daniel chapter 12. Daniel got a glimpse of this. Daniel in chapter 12. He was talking about the end time. He was seeing a vision of the end times. And he said in verse 4. Well, let's begin in verse 3. He says, now those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. For many shall run to and fro. You know what? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and he stood, and there stood two others. One on this bank, on this river bank, and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, he said, who is above the waters of the river? How long will this fulfillment of these wonders be? How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? In verse 7 he said, then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river. Then he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half of time, and when the power, notice this now, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things will be finished. Now, who is he talking about? Who's the holy people? It's certainly not the Jews. I mean, we refer to Jerusalem as being the Holy Land and all this type of thing. It is more cruel as goes on there than anything. As a matter of fact, he compared Jerusalem to Sodom, and spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah over in Revelation. He's not talking about the Jewish people. He's talking about those people whom he gave his Holy Spirit to, whom he is in contact with through his Holy Spirit. They're going to go through this. They're going to go through this. And when they're without any way out, he'll intervene and spare those who are in touch with him, who serve him above everything else. See? Romans chapter 8. Daniel marked that time, but those who communicate with God the Father, he's going to hear. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, Paul wrote this to the church at Rome and sent it down to us. God inspired it and preserved it for us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I started in 18. I want to start in 16. I'm sorry. The Spirit himself, that shouldn't be himself, it should be itself. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's evidence that we are the Spirit of God when God deals with us, and we know when we're in touch with God. We know when God's dealing with us. We know when we're obeying God. We know when God is dealing with us. If we're children then, if children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we're willing to suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Now how are we glorified? We are glorified when we're changed from this physical body, when this physical flesh and blood and enter into the kingdom of God, enter into a higher echelon of life of his kingdom. We're guaranteed to enter into that if we're obeying, if we're willing to suffer for him, if we're willing to give ourselves to him. See? That he won't make us do it. We have to recognize where we are, who we are, and how we are in order to enter into that. Because he gave us his Holy Spirit. He knows where his Holy Spirit is working. He knows where his begotten children are. And he's dealing with them, and he wants them to deal with him. See? So they can escape the things that's going to happen in this end time. That's just ahead of us. See? Now, Timothy was having problems. And Paul encouraged him of this. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul wrote of this. In verse 11, he said, this is a faithful saying. Now, Paul was really enthused about that. He said, here's something that you can depend on. Here's something that's reliable. Here's something you can take to the bank with you. For if we died with Christ, if we left the old self in that watery grave, if we died with Christ and we came out of there a new person, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. But if we hang on to that old person, if we hang on to that old self, you see, we don't have any promises. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will also deny us. And that's what's happened to the whole world around us except for a few people. See? Now, if we're faithless, he remains faithful, yet he cannot deny himself. And he said to Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, he said, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to ruin the hearers, but be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase the more and more godliness. It'll grow, just like a cancer will grow. Matter of fact, he compared it to cancer in the next verse. So you see, in this end time, we should be able to see the things that's happening to us. We should be able to see that it's not like it's always been, that there's been changing made. It's a worldwide changing, not just a nation, but it's a worldwide changing. Therefore, we should be more concentrating on how we should live in order to enter into the kingdom, in order to follow this manual, this book that God gave us to go by. See? Turn to Zephaniah. You see, God's people is going to be spared. Turn to the words of the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. The prophet said, "Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations and my assembly to my assembly of kingdoms to pour on them my indignation and my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy," because they had gone after other gods, because they had served somebody else except the true God. And verse 9 he said, "And then I will restore the people a pure language, and they'll all call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." You see, that's where those who have God's Holy Spirit, those that are really trying to overcome, those who are putting God first above everything else, they'll be in that group and go into his kingdom. Is it just as plain as day as far as I'm concerned? And that's the only thing he's going to accept. You see, there won't be any favoritism. It'll depend on whether or not we obey God or whether we don't. We'll be our own judges. See? We'll be our own judge and jury if we don't obey. See? We just won't be there. But they'll understand the voice of the shepherd. You see, God's people will understand the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. They'll understand his words, and they'll be obeying Jesus Christ. See? Now, that's the assurance that God of God's word, and he can't lie. He gave us his word. Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. John recorded our Savior as saying this. Now, Jesus had called out a few people, a few disciples whom he was dealing with, whom he knew was going to be in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, he talked to the Father about them. And the Father was to take care of them. And he will take care of them. And did take care of them. And he will today, just like he did then. In verse 34, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I love you, that you also love each other." Now, he was able to lay down his life and call those people his friends, you see, and tell them everything. Get close to them, because they were family. And he said, "By this," in verse 35, he said, "By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for the other." Now think about this now. You see, he gave the Ten Commandments to the whole world. He divided them up in two parts. He divided them up in two parts. One was to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind. That was the one first great commandment. And the second great commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, you put them first. See, right up there with you. Now then, everybody has those commandments. But he told them, here's something else that's expected of you, because you're being taught by me. See? You're supposed to love one another like I've loved you, to be able to lay down your life for each other. You see, and all the world, when they see this happening, all of the world will know that you are mine, that you're my students, that you're being taught by me. See? Now, that separates God's people from the rest of the world. That separates those who are really trying from the rest of the world. You see, just because we sit in Sabbath services, and just because we keep the holy days, it's not a guarantee we're going to get into the kingdom. But it's through obedience to what we know in this book, this manual right here. That's the words of God. That will determine whether or not we come through these tribulations. And that will determine whether or not we're changed into the glory of God and become sons of God in his kingdom. It's how we obey this book. In Matthew chapter 7, I need some water. In Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. Matthew recorded our Savior as saying this. Talking about bearing fruits. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. See? And he said in verse 20, he said, "Therefore, by their fruits you're going to know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Notice this. "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven," he's the one that'll get into the kingdom. And many will say to me in that day, in the end time, when it's time for Christ to come back to this earth, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? You see, doing wonders, casting out demons, healing the sick and so on, you see, that is not going to get you into the kingdom. See, that doesn't do it, see? And then I'll declare to you, unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, what's lawlessness? You see, you do away with what you know to do, which is a law in itself, to know, do what you know to do, a law of building character, you see. But this is something that people were let down on. Just because they were great and could do things, they thought that would get them into the kingdom. You see, that's not it at all. In Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built a house on the rock. And what's required there? Hearing the word and doing what you hear. Did you notice that? That's the part. Doing what you hear. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You see, he built a house. He was doing something. He built a house, but he didn't use good judgment about it. He built it on the wrong foundation. See? Now let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. Speaking of this end time. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Now the temple had little small buildings around it there for various things, but it all was considered the temple. They were all linked together. And Jesus said to them, "Do you see all these little things here? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon the other that shall not be thrown down." Now that happened in 70 A.D. when General Titus came in and destroyed the whole temple and leveled the whole thing. But it was more than that. You see, that temple stood for Jesus Christ himself. He said so. That temple stood for the very body of Christ, the church of God. You are the temple of God, Paul said. It also stood for the individual person. Represented the individual person who had God's Holy Spirit, because it was a dwelling place for God's Spirit. See? Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, "You tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age. What can we look for be happening at the end of the age? How will we know?" And Jesus answered, and he said to them, "You take heed that no one deceives you." He was saying there's going to be a time and it's going to be hard for you to tell what's right and what's wrong. He said there's going to be a time you'll be running to and fro on the earth trying to find the truth of God. And it'd be hard to find. And many will come in my name saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. Now how will they deceive many, and who will these people be that's going to deceive many? It's not going to be a Protestant world out here, a Sunday-keeping world. It won't be those people. They can't deceive somebody that's been given God's Holy Spirit. They can't deceive people who's trying to serve Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Now think about this. The last time I had count of the people that come out of God's church and separated themselves in little segments here and there and here and there, Everyone's saying, I don't like this person over here. I'm going to start my own group. I don't like what they teach. I can do a better job. I'm going to start this group over here. The last account I had was 500 different churches, and they were still growing. There's no telling how many there is now. From within those groups, there'll be a few that's going to have God's Holy Spirit that will cling to what they know to do. They won't follow this thing of vanity. They won't follow this thing of making claims and cutting down other people, telling lies on each other, which they're doing now. See? Each one trying to elevate themselves by cutting other people down. See? We're in that. This is the end time. That's what we look for. That's how what we've got to notice and not to look for. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't we do that? See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end isn't yet. It's not over yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And when then they shall deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, what did Daniel say about that? What did Daniel say? He said this end will come when the people of God, when the holy people have been totally shattered. It won't be any way out. It won't be any way out, you see. But God will intervene, you see. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Why would they do that? Because they want to separate themselves. They want to have a little independent group here, an independent group there, independent groups all over. But only a few from each group is going to cling to what's right. And you won't know. You won't know what's right and which group to follow unless you know for a certainty that you're in contact with God. Because they'll all take the name of Christ. They'll all claim they're doing the name of Jesus Christ. But it's some people, it's a few people within those groups. Within those groups that'll be doing what they know to do. Those are the ones. Those are the ones who will cry out to Jesus Christ. Those are the ones who cry out to Jesus Christ and say, if you don't come soon, there won't be anybody left. We're all going to die. And he'll come back for the elect's sake. He'll call them. Look over in verse 21. Said, for then there will be great tribulations, such as not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, until that time when they'll be there. No, nor ever shall be again. See, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, who's the elect? Not all these groups are scattered all over the world. It's a few people. It's within those groups that's been deceived. Some of them have been deceived. It's going to be a few from every group who know this Bible and live by it. See? They're guaranteed. Guaranteed and sealed with God's Holy Spirit. Guaranteed they'll be in the kingdom of God if they cling to His Word. See? In Matthew 25... Turn over a chapter. In Matthew 25 and verse 33. Matthew recorded our Savior saying this. He said, and he shall set sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, you come. Come, you blessed of my Father, whom I set at the right hand of until he sent me to save you. See? Blessed are you, come and you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See? Those are the ones who be in the kingdom. Those are the ones who give themselves to Jesus Christ, who want to act like Jesus Christ, who want to be like Jesus Christ, who want to breathe like Jesus Christ, who wants to put on Jesus Christ. And obey God the Father, see, above everything else. You see, brethren, this didn't come. This was planned before the foundation of the earth. We're part of it. we're part of it, and we're the most blessed people in the world, even though there's a tribulation beginning, even though we're going to have to go through things that we don't want to go through, you see, but we're going to have to prove ourselves to serve Jesus Christ and to serve God the Father in order to enter into the kingdom. But it's the most glorious thing that could happen to human beings. The most glorious thing that could happen to human beings, see? Turn to Micah 4. The reward is so much greater than what this world has to offer. So much greater than this world has to offer. In Micah chapter 4 and verse 1, Micah wrote this. He said, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountains of the governments, that is, the mountains of the governments of the house of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of all the mountains or all the governments on this earth. And it shall be exalted above all the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.'" Joseph's sons, all of those whom lived and died because of the promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and become Joseph's son, and were part of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who was promised to be above all peoples on this planet earth. And then let them down. But those people that God's dealing with, those people, God's people, will go through all of that in order to enter into the kingdom, because it's far greater than what this world could offer. And He'll teach us His ways. God will teach us His ways. And we shall walk in His paths. "For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord were from Jerusalem. And He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off, and shall beat their swords into plowshares." He'll do away with wars and falsehoods and lies. Deceitful leaders. He'll do away with them. "And their spears shall be... We'll turn them into pruning hooks, and nations shall not lift up sword anymore against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore." You see, because that people who's loyal and faithful to God's word will enter into eternity. And our minds can't grasp eternity, simply because our minds can't grasp that, because eternity doesn't have any limits to it. Doesn't have any limits to it. We'll be in our glory when we're glorified and become glorified spirits, then we'll have unlimited power. And it'll be boundless. There won't be any bounding of it. No bounds around us there, you see, because we will be God. It's worth more than this society has to offer. It's worth more than anything anybody could imagine. All the wise people, more than all the wisdoms of the world could imagine. Simply because God wants you. And God wants me. God wants everyone whom He chose and separated from the world, give them a special understanding of Him, a special understanding of how to enter into the kingdom of God. He wants them to be there. And He'll make a way, unless we fail Him. You see, brethren, we live in trying times. That's the name of the sermon, trying times. And unless we hold true, unless we hold true to what we know to do, you see, our trying is going to fail. We have to do what we know to do in this end time. May God help us, brethren. We live in times like we've never lived before. I hope I've said something here that's been helpful to us, or will be helpful to us. I hope, brethren, that we can all be together. And you know what I'd rather do? I want to be in God's kingdom more than anything in the world. I pray for it to come every day. I pray for it every day for that kingdom to come. But you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see everyone that I've spoke to be glorified with me in that kingdom. None above the other. None above the other. All of us on the same page. The family of God.